Thank you, Kian. So as Kian said, my name is Lachlan. If I haven't met you before, hi. It's great to have you here at Focus today. It's a real privilege to be able to speak to you. I don't know where you're all from. I'm sure you come from many different countries around the world. You've come all the way to Australia to seek a new life, maybe, to get a different education, to learn some new things, to experience some new things. And it's great that you've decided to experience what it might be, what it looks like to be a Christian. What does the Bible say? Who is Jesus? And what's so special about him? And we're going to spend some time answering a lot of those questions here today. Now, who here knows the story of Noah and the Ark? Who has heard the story of Noah and the Ark? Okay, interesting. So not everyone. So it's a very, very popular story. And we're not going to, unfortunately, not going to spend a lot of time looking at the story of, just the story of Noah and the Ark, because it actually covers three chapters. Chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8 of Genesis. And we're only looking at chapter 6 today. So we're only looking at a few small parts. As you follow along today, you can follow along in your blue handout. On the front, there's a glossary, so a few of the bigger words in the Bible reading and a few of the bigger words that I will be using today are on the front, and you can follow them if you're not sure what those words mean. If you weren't following along with Kian as well, there's the Bible reading on the inside, so you can see the whole thing, and you can see where various points I'm using come from, and the verse numbers are there as well. There's also the points that I'll be using, so if you're the sort of person who likes to write and take notes, there's also the points there, and I'll follow along, and I'll you can follow along with the points on the PowerPoint as well. I just want to start by asking a simple question. I'll first ask a question to the guys, okay? Do you understand everything about females?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So Alan knows everything. So all the other guys, okay, other guys, do you understand everything about females? He'll understand less. Okay. David, do you understand everything about females?
Not too much.
Not too much. Okay. Chris?
No.
Can I be married for a few years? Do you know everything about... No. Paul? Do you? How long have you been married for, Paul? 20 years. And you still don't know everything about women. So, you know, it's almost impossible to know. Women, do you know everything about men? No. Okay. So it's pretty safe to say that there's... You just don't know, right? You can read all the books, you can do all the study, you can interview all the people you want, and you won't be able to know everything about, you know, men won't be able to know everything about women, women won't know everything about men. A bit of advice for the females here today, if you'd want to know anything about men, I advise you don't ask men, because we know less about ourselves than you probably do. So that's a free bit of advice before we start. And this might come as a bit of a shock to you, but I'll let you know a bit of, well, not a secret, but I'll let you know something now. We actually don't know everything that's in the Bible. We don't understand every single word, every single sentence that's in the Bible. What I mean is there are words or there are groups of words that we don't understand their meaning. Even if we look at the history of the world and other historical books and we read all the other bits of information about around the time those books were written, we cannot actually find the exact meaning of those words. I thought I'd give an example of that for us today in verses 2, 3, and 4 of our Bible reading today. We'll look at them and explain them. So I'll read the first four verses. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that these daughters were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with human beings forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years." The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward. When the sons of God went to the daughters of the human beings and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. So verse 1, you can see we have no problem with. It talks about humans having babies and... daughters and sons were born. But verse 2, we don't actually know what the word sons of God mean. The rest of the nowhere else in the Old Testament talks about this thing. In verse 3, when it says their days will be 120 years, we don't know what that means either. Verse 4, the Nephilim, who are they? Now, of course, we can guess what these things mean. We can study the whole Bible. We can look at all the other parts of the Bible and try and understand them better. But in these cases, we actually don't know. We can't answer these things. With the 120 years thing, we can guess that either it's talking about 120 years from when God says this to when he destroys the earth by flood, maybe. Or maybe God's saying that no one, no human, will live for more than 120 years. We don't know. We can guess in these cases, but we just don't know. However, don't worry. Don't think you're coming here and you're like, oh man, this guy is going to spend half an hour telling me he doesn't know things. Don't worry. The good news is the rest of the chapter, the most important parts of the Bible, we do know. We've got a very good idea. People have spent a lot of time reading the Bible many times and comparing it to other things, and they have found out for us what the truth is about these parts of the Bible. And hopefully today, I'm going to show you that the Bible isn't just a bunch of interesting stories put together into a book. Okay, it isn't just a set of rules from God on how we should live. The Bible is a love letter from God to his people, us, showing us how much he loves us, as well as telling us everything that we need to know about him and how he wants us to relate to him. Specifically today, we're going to look at the story of Noah from over 4,000 years ago and how that links directly to Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago. Sounds strange, but we'll find that out. And how it also links directly to us today. We'll see how the stories in the Bible aren't just interesting stories. They're also historical fact. And they're also not just historically true, but they're factually true. They explain not just how people thought and acted 4,000 years ago, but how we think and act today. And lastly, we'll see how we can be right with God, the creator of the whole world and universe. So point number one, my first point I'd like to say, looking back at the text, is to try and understand what it says in verse 5. So verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 6 says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time." So what I want to focus on here is the second part of this verse. Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart were only evil all the time. Do you think Moses is the writer of this book, trying to emphasize something, you know, that just the totality, the 100% unambiguous and the all-inclusiveness of this? Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. I only have one response when I read this. Ouch. Only evil all the time. Is that how you feel too? You feel the weight of that. Deep down, when we read this, we think, well, hang on a minute. I mean, I'm not perfect, okay? I'm not going to put my hand up and say that I'm a perfect person. There's times I hurt people. There's times I lie. There's times I cheat. I don't do it very often, but, you know, I do these things. But I wouldn't say that every thought of my heart was only evil all the time. Okay, well, even if you don't believe that about yourself, you can probably agree with me 100% that there are some things in your life which you do which are wrong. Well, the Bible calls that sin. But sin isn't just doing wrong things. To define it simply, sin is turning our back to God, turning our back on God. It is deciding that we want to live our lives our own way. Now, who here was on that Focus Getaway 2 weekends ago? Okay, so most of us here. Okay. Well, for those of us who were here, remember what we learnt in Genesis chapter 3. For those of you who weren't here, we saw in the first three chapters of Genesis how God created the world And then God filled the world and he created humans. And he gave those humans one rule. Do not eat the fruit from a certain tree. Adam and Eve were the first humans. They broke that rule. They turned their back on God. They ate the fruit from the one tree which God told them not to eat. And that was the first sin. We too, we have all sinned. We all have at least once in our lives turned our back on God. Now, just in case you're thinking, hang on, before Lachlan, you said, you know, we can't understand some bits of the Bible. You know, maybe you say, oh, how can we understand this part? How can we know we understand this part? If that's you, that's a very, very good point. And in all things in the Bible, if we want to understand it properly, we need to compare it to other parts of the Bible to make sure that it says the same thing. So we're going to do that now. We're going to see that it talks about this fact that everyone has sinned. Everyone has done this at least once. And we'll look at two places in the Bible. We'll look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12 first. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Again, in same book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone is guilty of sin. Even me, even Kian, everyone, even the nicest person that you meet, strangely enough, even they have sinned at least once against God. Well, moving along, point number two, except for Noah, who was righteous. See, back to our story, we see that everyone is only evil all the time. So what does God plan to do? God has a plan. Looking at verses 6 and 7. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. God is sad. In case you're ever wondering, you know what sort of feelings God has, here we see God being very sad. He's so sad that he decides to wipe his entire creation from the earth because they are only evil all the time. But thankfully, God finds one person he's happy with, Noah. And we read in the other part of chapter 6 that Noah is blameless among the people of his time, which basically means that he was about as close to perfect as someone could be. Basically, he's a really, really good guy. So we read on that God decides to kill everyone else on the earth and start again with Noah. He tells Noah to build a massive, massive boat called an ark. Now, again, we can't spend too much time going through the story or look at too many of the details of the ark, even though they are in chapter 6, except to say it's a really big boat. Here's a quick picture of on the internet. This is not a model. Well, it's like they're real silos on the left on there. They're real silos, right? So you can imagine that's a truck, okay? So you can imagine it's a pretty big boat. And this is 4,000 years ago. Okay, they didn't have circular saws. They didn't have lathes. Noah had to build the whole thing by hand. So it's pretty big. And that's to scale as well. That's not half size. That's a full size one. So after telling Noah to build the ark, God continues to tell him, looking at verses 17 and 18, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Now, I'm not sure about you, but if someone asked you, if someone told you there's going to be a massive flood that is going to kill everyone, what would you believe them? Would that be your first response going, okay, sure, yeah. Kian told me it's going to be a flood, going to kill everyone in Australia. You know, would you believe him? You know, we're not talking about a flood where you might lose your house, like the floods you see on TV where people have to climb onto the top of their house and wait till someone rescues them. No, we're talking about a flood that kills every human being and animal on the earth. Would you believe them? Well, Noah did. And we see that in verse 20, number 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. See, Noah built the ark because he believed that God was telling the truth. He believed that God would send the flood. And even though he had no proof, right? He didn't see the weather forecast, you know, and see, oh, yeah, God, I'll go check the forecast. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, rain every day for 40 days, right? No, he didn't have weather forecast back then. He just believed that God. He didn't have the scientific evidence. It had never happened before. And even though everyone else was telling him that he's crazy, he believed in God. So what does the Bible say about Noah because of this? Well, we read in verse number 9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah was a righteous man. What does righteous mean here? Basically, it means right with God. See, God was happy with him. God was close to him, and he was close to God. And it's echoed in the last part, walked faithfully with God. But I have one question for you. Was Noah righteous? Was he right with God because he built the ark or because he believed in God? Now that's important because what's so special about Noah is not that he built the ark, but it's the reason behind why he built the ark. It's not the what he did, it's the why he did it. Just like last week. Remember, we looked at Cain and Abel, and they gave their gifts to God as a sacrifice. It wasn't the gifts that they gave to God that was important. It was the thoughts of their heart. It was the why they gave them that was important. How do I know this? Again, we'll compare it to other parts of the Bible. Looking at the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, this is after Jesus was alive, in chapter 11, verse 7. Noah had faith, so he built an ark to save his family. He built it because of his great respect for God. God had warned him about things that could not yet be seen. Because of his faith, he showed the world that it was guilty. Because of his faith, he was considered right with God. See that considered right? That is being righteous. So that brings me to my third point, which is how this story is applicable to us today. So far, we've looked at what is the story about, what does it say, who was Noah, what did he do. Now we're going to learn what does it mean for us. Okay, we learned that Noah was declared righteous. He was right with God, not because of what he did, but why he did it. Because he believed God, that God would do exactly what he said he would do. So what does this have to do with you? Okay. Well, it's because this is exactly how you can too become right with God. In fact, it's the only way that we can be right with God. No matter how many good things you do in your life or how few bad things you do in your life, you can only be right with God if you have faith. The only difference for us is that we don't believe that God is sending a big flood. We believe in his son, Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, 100% fully God, took on humanity, became a human, to come to this earth full of wicked people, wicked sinners like you and me, to take the punishment that I deserved for my sin and for my rebellion against God. Jesus died on the cross in my place for my sins. Why? So that through faith in him, faith in Jesus, I can be made right with God. I can be made righteous. Not through anything that I have done myself, but only through faith in Jesus. We can read this again. We can compare this to other parts of the Bible in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, we're saved from punishment. We're saved from our sin, from death, through faith in Jesus. Again, we can see it in another place in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek God. Have faith in him and his promises. Only then can you please him. And lastly, the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. It's as simple as that. Now, this might sound hard. You might think it's a big step, right? You know, you're nowhere near having faith in Jesus, and that's fine. But one thing that makes it easier for us is that us today, compared to Noah 4,000 years ago, is that, well, Noah had no proof that God was going to send the flood. But with Jesus, we do have proof. We don't just have to take God's word for it. What is our proof? Our proof is that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus died for us to take our punishment for our sins. Okay, we understand that. But he didn't stay dead. He came back to life. He rose from the dead and he is alive today. Like Noah, we trust in what we cannot see, right? The fact that we too, if we have faith in Jesus, after we die, we will rise again. That's what we have faith in. The difference with us is that we already have the proof, because we already know that Jesus rose again, so that we can have something to look forward to as well when we will rise again with Jesus. So in summary, it's okay not to understand everything. If you read the Bible, you've read it before, and you didn't understand some parts, they didn't make any sense, that's fine. Okay? If you're ever not sure, feel free to ask someone else. And they might tell you, yeah, you can't understand. I don't understand. And there's lots of parts that I don't understand. But the good thing is, we can definitely tell you and help you to understand the most important bits. So you can be able to know 100% whether or not you are right with God. You can continue to come to Focus public meetings and we can continue through the story of Noah. You can come to Focus small groups and we can read through the Bible in those smaller groups and ask lots of questions. One of the verses we looked at today was from the book of Ephesians. And that's the book that we're going through chapter by chapter in our small groups at other times during the week. Or any other questions you might have, you can ask Kian, myself, or any of the other Focus leaders here. But one thing hopefully you can definitely learn from today is that you don't have to doubt or be unsure. The only way for us to be right with God is to believe in Jesus. Believe in what he did for us. Believing in what he promises for us for the future. We too, just like Noah, can be righteous. But like Noah, not through what we do, but through what God does by faith. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are the creator of the world, that you created the whole world for us to live in. And you didn't just leave us to be alone by ourselves, but that you sent your son, Jesus, to take the penalty for our sins, our rejection of you. And when he died on the cross, he paid that penalty. And that through his death, we can be declared righteous, that we can be right with you through your son's death. We thank you that it's not through anything that we do. We thank you that it is all through what you have done for us. We thank you for the story of Noah. We thank you that it's not just an interesting story, but that we too can use the example and see the example of Noah, that he was righteous, not through building the ark, but through because he trusted in you. Lord, we pray today that we can trust in you. For those of us who find it hard to trust in you, that you would help us to do so. We would not trust in ourselves or the things that we do, but trust in your Son, who has already done everything for us. We pray that you help us to understand. Pray that you help us to understand the simple bits and the hard bits. We thank you that you have given us many people in the past to understand these things clearly and to teach us so that we can teach them to others, so that many people can come to know you and your Son. In whose name we pray. Amen.